5. Trouble getting beginners into observing groups. Introducing beginners into observing groups is a difficult problem. The beginner has interest, but needs encouragement and confidence in his ability. Showing the beginner displays of sophisticated observations can be very discouraging. Instead, he must be shown a step-by-step training program consisting of small, simple projects. He should be shown samples of work by other beginning observers rather than beautiful examples of complete and elaborate work by advanced observers. It should be stressed to the beginner that a partial but accurate piece of work, supplemented by a written description, is just as valuable as a more sophisticated work by an advanced observer. I think this point can't be stressed too greatly. The standard of work, as shown at the exhibits in Montreal, was in general fairly high. And to a beginning observer looking at this work, he would be scared away completely from observing. So that we must, although displaying our better work on such occasions, I think the occasional example of a beginner's work and maybe a transition series of drawings from a first to a last would be of great help in recruiting new observers. This is something that we should encourage, as well as the more professionalized results as we have shown in the last exhibit. 6. Trouble getting large numbers of observers to participate in observing programs. Centers with organized programs know that generally one or two enthusiastic observers are sufficient to carry out a program of observations. Of course, greater numbers are desirable, but it is not the number participating that counts, rather their interest in observing. Also, it is a general fact that personnel changes occur in the observing ranks as the interests of the observer reorientate. This tends to introduce new programs and also creates gaps in the ranks of observers. Such gaps can be filled by other observers and allow new blood to bring in new ideas and new methods of observation. Hence, they prevent stagnation in the ranks of the observing group. We also feel that if members coming into a group feel that there is no chance of advancement, if there is a natural leader or a person with very good ideas, new ideas, in the group, he will quickly be discouraged if there's no chance for him to take a hand in the direction of some program. In many cases, the programs have been directed by one or two people for so long that no one really seriously considers replacing them. In many cases, the director would just as soon step down and let someone else take over, and thus would get the administrative ability off his shoulders so that he could enjoy himself at the observing program again. And so that the new person coming in can then take and try his hand. And we feel that in situations where this happens, we get the greatest use from all the observers and the most enjoyable time. I think centers should look very much towards this rotation in their observers as well as in their executives, as most of them do. Since the need of a national observing program is obvious, and with these problems presented in mind, the committee suggests 1. That observing centers consolidate existing programs by appointing local recorders in each field of observation that they undertake. In some groups, this already has been done. Examples, Montreal and Toronto, Edmonton and Calgary. The reason for a local recorder is so that the center will then at all times be aware of all activities being undertaken by its observers before the results of the work proceeds anywhere else. It's always nice to know what your center is doing before others know about it, and I feel that this is rather important that the home front be consolidated and notified of everything before everyone else finds out. 2. That national recorders in each field of observation be selected from the ranks of the local recorders. The delegation of who shall select the national recorder will be left up to the National Council or its appointees. Three, that these national recorders be asked to consolidate their own programs from coast to coast and then report to council. This would merely be contacting all the other local recorders, deciding on how they were going to exchange information and any of the details as to how often and what sort of information they should be passing back and forth. Then they can report this to council. When council receives the entire group of reports, then they can delegate out to some other member of council, let's say a coordinator who will coordinate all the recorders and in general look after this program. Four, that all centers be informed by council of the aims and status of the National Observing Program, and that all centers be invited to contribute to said program as soon as possible. We don't want to make it compulsory, but we would like to see as great a participation as soon as possible by every group. I believe so far 8 of 14 centers have expressed direct desire to participate in such a program. We feel this is very encouraging, and some of the others who have been slow in answering may join in before the survey is completed. Five, that although no standard methods are to be enforced, sample printed instructions and forms be distributed by the existing observing groups through the national office to all other centers. This should facilitate the setting up of new observing programs in the other centers. Council should help finance the reproducing of the sample instructions, report forms, and training programs to make it easier on the centers concerned. We feel that council can help greatly in carrying out this one recommendation. Six, that council should consider the origination of a second publication similar to the journal supplement, but not quite as formal as the journal. The purpose of such a publication would be to act as an intermediary between local newsletters and the journal. Members could submit articles of good amateur quality to this subsidiary publication, where they could not achieve the professional quality required for the journal. Articles on the construction of observatories, telescopes, or other observing equipment and their usage could be submitted. Where the standard is not suitable for professional publication, but is of general interest to the average amateur astronomer, the publication could either be issued quarterly or semi-annually and could serve as a means of introducing and training new observers. It could also handle observing data not yet refined enough for the journal, but of interest to members. As proposed in our previous report, more formal reports of observations would be issued to the journal from time to time as articles of quality are prepared. This publication would sort of be a poor man's journal and rich man's scope. I feel that we do need some publication in the society similar to Sky and Telescope, maybe on a mimeographed or printed basis, which could be issued fairly infrequently, but could carry articles about various amateur activities, which would be of no interest to professionals and which would not serve the standard that the journal must maintain. I do think that serious consideration should be given to such a publication, and if possible, maybe a committee could investigate this. As soon as the formal survey of centers is completed, a third report will be issued to council. We hope to include in this report the total number of centers interested in cooperating in a national observing program and the fields of interest in which they are going to participate. We shall also discuss other points in connection with intercommunication between centers and any national committee formed to direct the program. This will also contain the rest of the report from the Montreal meeting. With this, the committee completes its second report to council. Respectfully submitted, I.K. Williamson, R.V. Ramsey, and E.R. Milton, Chairman. Mr. Chairman, I should like to move that this report be adopted.